Webinar tonight will be on the subjects of tips for buying real estate with a self-directed IRA LLC. My name is Adam Bergman, and I'm an attorney with the IRA Financial Group. And I will be spending the next hour going through the facts about a self-directed IRA, some important tips that people should keep in mind when deciding whether they are going to be purchasing certain assets using their self-directed IRA, some rules to be concerned with when and making the investments using IRA funds, as well as some other important facts that should be kept in mind when determining how to structure the investment in the most tax-efficient manner. The self-directed IRA LLC structure is a structure that's been established pretty much for the last 25 or so years. It's a structure that involves the use of an IRA along with a limited liability company that will hold the IRA assets and will allow the individual to make the investment tax-free without IRA consent. So it's a very useful strategy for people that want more control over their retirement funds. Just a little bit of background about who I am. I'm an attorney with the IRA Financial Group. IRA Financial Group was formed by a number of attorneys that worked at some of the largest law firms in the country, including White & Case, Dewey & Ballantyne. I'm a tax attorney that specializes in the use of retirement funds to make investments tax-free. That's the area of my practice. My background was in the area of partnership and corporate tax. Over the last several years, I focused specifically on retirement funds. I've been quoted in a number of periodicals, newspapers, been on radio discussing the use of retirement funds to make investments tax-free. I received my law degree from Syracuse University, and I have a master's in tax law from NYU in New York. The self-directed IRA structure is a structure that is used to purchase real estate and other investments tax-free. It's an IRS and tax court-approved investment structure. Almost any type of retirement fund can be used in the structure, including IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs. An LLC is created that's owned by the IRA, managed by the IRA holder, giving the IRA holder checkbook control over those funds. When you have checkbook control, you can simply write a check or wire funds straight from your account to make the investment. No custodian consent is required. In addition, typically custodian fees are reduced because all investment activity occurs below the custodian, meaning at the LLC level. So that gives the individual more control and requires less involvement of the custodian, which will reduce the custodian fees. And most importantly, the IRA holder determines what investments are appropriate. No longer is custodian consent required. So let's talk about some of the advantages. And again, this the purpose of this presentation is really to focus on some of the tips for buying real estate. So I'm going to move sort of quickly through some of the major advantages of a self-directed IRA LLC. Of course, that information is available on the website, irafinancialgroup.com, or of course, you can call and contact an attorney at 800-472-0646. If you're interested to learn more about really what a self-directed IRA LLC is, the purpose of this webinar is really to give people who have either a self-directed IRA LLC or have some above-average knowledge about the structure, some more in-depth tips about what people should keep in mind when making investments, especially real estate investments, using a self-directed IRA LLC. So, of course, the number one advantage is checkbook control. Everyone wants control over their retirement funds. People want to be able to open their IRA LLC account at a local bank. They want to know that the money is close by, that if they need to make an investment, they don't need to call a financial institution and talk to a customer service representative. They want to be able to simply write a check or wire the funds straight from their account. And that's what the self-directed IRA LLC with checkbook control does. The tax advantages, which is really important. Tax advantages allows people to buy real estate, for example, in a tax-deferred or tax-free manner. And what does that mean? I mean, the whole core advantage of using retirement funds to make investments is you don't pay tax on any of the income and gains you receive, which as a tax attorney is really the ultimate goal, is to not only defer tax, but engage in a transaction that does not require the payment of tax upon the sale or appreciation of the asset. So for example, if someone bought real estate with an IRA, the income generated, the rental income, the sale proceeds would all go tax-free into the IRA. Now, in the case of a pre-tax IRA, a traditional IRA, that individual would later, in a deferred time, pay tax on either the amount taken out as a distribution, or once the individual reaches the age of 70 and a half, a certain amount each year as per required minimum distribution rules. But the key is that individual is now deferred out the tax. So if the asset was purchased when the individual was 45, 50, 55, that individual now has at least 20, 25 years of appreciation tax-free on the appreciation of the asset as well as the income and gains generated by the asset. So it's obviously a huge advantage. Now, in the case of a Roth IRA, it's a true tax-free phenomenon. What that means is the asset is purchased using the Roth IRA. Well, that individual, unlike a pre-tax IRA, never has to take a distribution. And when that individual does want to take money out of the account, either to live on or to move into that property, there is no tax. That distribution is tax-free. So it's very popular in the case of a self-directed Roth IRA that people will either do the conversion or, if they have a Roth IRA, make the real estate purchase. And this way, they will have additional income to live off. So for example, if the rental property generates an extra $10,000 a year of net rental income, well, that individual can simply take that into distribution, since it's a Roth, not pay tax, and there's an excess $10,000 tax-free in their pocket that could supplement their income. So that's obviously, you know, a very attractive option. Again, just in contrast to a pre-tax IRA, the income will grow tax-free, so that individual is not paying tax and deferring the tax, but will only pay tax upon taking a distribution, which in some cases could be 15, 20, 25 years down the road. So that account is growing in a tax-deferred manner. Investment options. With a self-directed IRA LLC, you can make almost any type of investment, real estate, tax liens, precious metals. You can lend money to friends, individuals. You could invest in private businesses. We'll go through some of the rules around what you cannot do in a little bit. Speed. As I previously mentioned, making an investment is simply as easy as writing a check or wire the funds straight from the account. There is no need to get custodian consent. You are on your own. As the manager of the LLC, you have control over these funds to make the investments you want, when you want them, tax-free. And of course, limited liability protection. One of the nice advantages of using an LLC or a limited liability company is that the income generated by the investment will be held inside the LLC. And what that means is then any IRA assets held outside the LLC is protected from creditor attack. So for example, if someone had $100,000 in their self-directed IRA and spent $50,000 on a real estate investment, and God forbid something occurred in that asset and there was a lawsuit, the creditors can attack not just the $50,000 asset, but the entire $100,000 IRA. So what a lot of people do is they want to set up an LLC to hold that asset in the LLC, thus giving it limited liability protection. So in the case of a lawsuit against that particular asset, the creditor's only recourse is within the LLC, not what is outside the LLC. Thus, in this example, the only recourse the creditors would have would be the $50,000 inside the LLC, not the individual's retirement funds outside the LLC. So that's obviously a nice level of protection. Also, using the LLC gives you some level of confidentiality or privacy, because when you're making a real estate investment, you're going to make it in the name of the LLC, not in your name, not in the name of the custodian for the benefit of the IRA. So you can call your LLC anything you want, as long as the name is available under state law. And in some cases, you may want to use a generic name. And in depending on the state, it may be very difficult for a tenant or creditor to even know that your LLC or an IRA that you are the beneficiary of owns that asset. So that's also a nice tool. Why use a self-directed IRA LLC to buy real estate? Again, total control. It's all about having control over your assets, making sure that if you want to make an investment, you can do it quickly without custodian consent. Again, access. Your funds are held at a local bank in the name of your LLC. They're not held at some faraway custodian that you've never seen, you can't touch, you can't see. Here, your funds are at the bank you bank with, you have a relationship with, a credit union, whatever you feel comfortable with. And, of course, lower fees. Since everything happens below the custodian, meaning the custodian invests the assets or the cash in the LLC, the IRA care of the custodian owns the LLC, but again, all the activity is happening at the LLC level. So the custodian, in fact, doesn't know if you're buying real estate in Texas, Delaware, New York, London, Costa Rica, or Israel. Doesn't matter. The only thing the custodian is going to ask for is the value of your account at the end of the year. They are not going to ask what investments you're making, what you're doing. In fact, the IRS, when the custodian provides the valuation you've provided them and forwards it along to the IRS in a form 5498, that form, all it does is provide the IRS with an account valuation. It does not go into detail and ask about the type of investments you are making. So that's another reason why IRAs are not audited really at all. Number one, because about 90% of all Americans invest in stocks and mutual funds with their IRA, so there's not a whole lot of trouble you can get into in terms of violating prohibited transaction rules. Number two, the IRS doesn't know who those people are because the 5498 form they receive doesn't tell them if someone's buying real estate or someone's lending money to someone or someone's buying tax liens or precious metals. All it tells them is John Doe's IRA is worth X. So that's why there's really not a lot of audit activity. The IRS just doesn't feel there's a whole lot there, and it's really, in their opinion, not worth allocating resources to the area. So what type of real estate could one purchase using their self-directed IRA or retirement funds? Essentially, the IRS doesn't say what you can do. It only lists the items you cannot do. And under the prohibited transaction rules, which we'll get to in a little bit more detail shortly, which can be found under Section 408 and 4975 of the tax code, doesn't list the type of real estate or the type of activities that can be purchased. Again, it only lists what you can purchase. In the case of real estate, the IRS clearly on their website states that you can buy real estate with your IRA. And what type of real estate? Well, any real estate. It could be domestic, foreign, it could be raw land, residential homes, commercial property, apartments, duplexes, condos, townhomes, mobile homes, real estate notes, tax deeds, tax liens. Again, as long as you're not violating any of the IRS prohibited transaction rules, you can do it. So why buy real estate using retirement funds? I think this is a very important point. A lot of people say, well, why should I use my IRA funds to buy real estate? IRA funds are really just for stocks or mutual funds. You know, that's really what we've been told, and this is really the way it should work. And the reason people have used their retirement funds in terms of making investments into stocks and mutual funds is because they really didn't know better. The large financial institutions don't want you to buy real estate with your IRA funds because that's money that you just removed from their account and their financial institution and took it somewhere else. So they don't win when you buy real estate. They don't earn commissions when you buy real estate. They've, in fact, lost the money and lost the potential to earn any type of fee from that income. So they're not happy. Now, the IRS specifically allows for the investment of real estate using IRA funds, but it doesn't require a financial institution to give you that option to buy it. It only says that you can buy it. So a lot of the major institutions just won't let you do it. But why, again, would you want to buy real estate? Well, it's the same rules that apply to stocks and mutual funds. Number one, gains are tax-free. So if you buy a piece of property for $50,000 and you sell it for $100,000, it's all tax-free. You don't have to worry about ordinary income. You don't have to worry about capital gains, especially in the case of rental income properties. If you owned it personally, you're going to pay ordinary income tax on the rental income. If you own it through an IRA, you're not going to pay any tax at all until you take a distribution down the road. And again, in the case of a Roth IRA, it's always tax-free because there's no tax on the distribution. Positive cash flow is tax-free. Again, all the income that's being generated by this asset is flowing back into your IRA LLC, tax-free. Don't have to worry about holding periods, whether you hold it for less than 12 months and thus not get capital gains or long-term capital gains treatment, but only get short-term capital gains treatment and thus have to pay ordinary income tax, which in today's day and age is a lot lower than capital gains tax, which is 15%. So especially in rental income properties, it's really advantageous to use IRA funds because that rental income, you're not going to have to worry about paying ordinary income tax. It's all going to grow tax-free. And again, as that money grows into your IRA, you can then use it to make additional investments, thus further growing your income tax-free. You can borrow money. Now, this is a very hot area. I'm going to certainly do a webinar in the next few months about using leverage with an IRA to buy real estate. But I'll briefly touch upon it now. When it comes to using IRA funds, you are able to use non-recourse leverage only. What that means is you cannot personally guarantee the loan. So a typical mortgage would not be allowed using your IRA. The reason for that is under the Prohibited Transaction Rules, 4975, it states that an IRA holder or a disqualified person, you, for example, cannot personally guarantee an obligation of the IRA. So that means you can't guarantee a loan, because if you did that, you're personally guaranteeing an obligation of the IRA, and that is a prohibited transaction. So the only funding or borrowing you can do is through a non-recourse loan. And a non-recourse loan is a loan that you do not have to personally guarantee. So it's a loan that if you can't pay back, the bank cannot go after you personally, because that would be a prohibited transaction. But they can only go against the property and take back the property. Now, again, today's day and age, where we are today versus 2006, 2007, these loans are hard to come by. They're available, and we have places that can get you these loans, but they are a little bit more difficult to come by. You have to put a little bit more down, and there's definitely some higher fees in terms of acquiring these non-recourse loans. Now, the one drawback of a non-recourse loan is there is tax on the debt finance portion. And I don't want to go into too much detail about this now. It's certainly a topic worthy of its own webinar. But just note, if you do use non-recourse financing, there is a potential tax, unrelated business taxable income tax, on that portion of the asset subject to the non-recourse financing. Again, it's important to note that only non-recourse financing can be used, not recourse financing, so not a typical mortgage. You cannot personally guarantee the loan. Potential to earn a larger rate of return on invested capital. Again, that goes back to the whole idea of deferral. As a tax attorney, that is our number one and my number one goal. Anytime I talk to a client, either in the retirement world or outside of it, you always want to defer tax. You always want to enter in a transaction that either defers tax or lowers your tax or doesn't pay tax. So that's the goal. Now, a lot of people say, well, shouldn't I buy this personally? With a personal investment, I'm able to get losses and take deductions. And that's all true. Generating deductions and losses are wonderful in a tax world, but not paying tax is a whole lot better. A deduction only reduces the amount subject to tax. So if you have $1,000 and you have a $10 deduction, well, you still have to pay tax of $990, okay? Where the credit is a dollar-to-dollar reduction of the tax. So if you had a $100 credit and you owed $200 of tax, you'd now only owe $100 of tax. So a credit's better than a deduction, but not paying tax at all beats them all. The reason for that is if you earned $1,000 tax-free, you walk home with $1,000. And again, in the case of a pre-tax IRA, you are deferring it. You would probably have to take a distribution if you reach the age of 70 and a half. So So you would eventually pay tax on it, but you are deferring it. So hopefully all that income is growing tax-free. So how does this self-directed IRA LLC structure work? And again, I'm going to kind of move through the next three or four slides relatively quickly, because all this information, again, is available on our website. And I'm assuming the majority of the people that will be listening to this particular webinar will have either a self-directed IRA LLC already, or they have some average level of knowledge on how the structure works. But in essence, the funds are moved from a current custodian. A custodian is just another word for financial institution. So a custodian could be Fidelity, Vanguard, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase. They're all custodians. So the money would be moved from a traditional custodian, i.e. Wells Fargo, to a passive custodian, an IRS-approved passive custodian. So again, another financial institution or trust company that allows for real estate investments. So there are a whole slew of passive custodians out there that basically have a different model or business model than a traditional financial institution like Fidelity. Most of these passive custodians make money on the accounts they open. So anywhere from $100 to $300-$400 per account, that's their business model. They don't sell product, financial products. They don't sell really any other types of services. It's really just a fee for the account. So the money, again, would be moved from the traditional custodian to the passive custodian, and then the passive custodian would then transfer the money tax-free or invest that money tax-free into a newly established self-directed IRA LLC. It has to be newly established in order, because if it's owned by you already, it likely is a disqualified entity, which we'll get to in a second. Once that money is transferred tax-free to the newly established special purpose LLC, since the custodian is making the investment into this new LLC using your IRA funds, the IRA will be the owner, right? Because it's not your money yet, it's IRA money. So the IRA care of the custodian will be the owner of this IRA LLC. A third party, the IRA holder typically, either a spouse, a sibling, a friend, could also serve as co-manager. But essentially, again, the IRA is the owner of the LLC, and either you, a spouse, and or a spouse, friend, colleague, accountant, lawyer, could serve as managers of the LLC. As managers of the LLC, you would gain checkbook control over those funds, so you can simply make an investment by writing a check. So step one, again, the transfer of retirement funds tax-free. Could be IRA funds, Roth funds, SEP funds, 401Ks, 403Bs, simples. All these are allowed to be entered into a self-directed IRA structure. Why do you need a passive custodian? Well, it goes back to the whole concept that if you went to Fidelity and said, I want to buy real estate, they'd say, well, that's great, you can do it, but we're not going to let you do it. So you need to find a special IRA custodian, someone that's FDIC-backed, someone that is a custodian in terms of what the IRS considers a custodian, who will allow you to do these real estate investments. I mentioned there's a number of these entities out there. They're all FDIC-backed, so your funds are always protected up to $250,000. And then they'll reinvest those funds into a special purpose LLC that the IRA will own, care of the custodian, and that a manager, usually the IRA holder, will control. The investment of the IRA funds into the new LLC. So the individual IRA holder will direct the custodian to fund the new LLC. Typically, the IRA will own 100% of the LLC. Okay, if there's more than one IRA, so if it's a husband and spouse, the percentage of ownership in the LLC will be based on the amount contributed. So if the IRA from spouse one is $50,000 and the IRA from spouse two is $50,000, IRA number one would own 50% and IRA number two will own 50% of the LLC. Since the LLC is free as a flow-through, for federal income tax purposes, all income and gains of the LLC will flow through to the IRA LLC tax-free. So again, this is important. Why an LLC is used and not a corporation, for example? Well, first of all, an S-corporation cannot be used, and I get this question a lot. The reason an S-corp can't be used, because an S-corp, in a lot of senses, is very similar to an LLC in terms of tax treatment. It's also considered a pass-through entity. However, an S-corp has very restrictive shareholder requirements. So only individuals, in essence, can be shareholders of an S-corp. An IRA is a trust. essentially what an IRA is under Section 408 of the tax code. So that means that an IRA cannot be a shareholder of an S-corp. So why not in a C-corp, a regular corporation, like IBM is or Apple is? Well, that's a good question I get. And the reason an LLC is used over C-corp is a C-corp is not a very tax-advantageous entity. It may have some other important features that make it popular. Number one, all public companies are C-corps. But from a tax standpoint, it's not very attractive. Number one reason why is it has two layers of tax. There's an entity-level tax and then a shareholder-level tax upon a dividend. In the case of an LLC, a limited liability company, it has the tax characteristics of a partnership, meaning it's a flow-through entity or a tax nothing for tax purposes, but it retains the corporate characteristics of a corporation. So, for example, if a C corporation generated $100 in income and just assume a 20% tax rate, the C corp would pay 20% of tax on the $100, leaving the corporation with $80. And then if the individual wanted to take a dividend distribution, that individual would pay 20% on $80 or another $16. So $36 of tax paid. If the individual generated that $100 through an LLC, limited liability company, there would only be $20 of tax. Again, because there's no entity level tax. From a tax standpoint, the LLC, a single member LLC, is treated as a disregarded entity for tax purposes, meaning it's kind of invisible. It's there for corporate purposes, so it gives you limited liability protection, but from a tax standpoint, it's treated as a tax nothing or an invisible disregarded entity. So that's why a IRA LLC is used. An LLC is used because an IRA doesn't pay tax because it's exempt under 408 of the tax code. So why set up a C corp? Why subject that IRA to any tax if it's not required to pay tax at its level? So buying real estate tax-free. How does that work? So it's pretty simple, as I mentioned. Once the funds are moved from your initial custodian to this new IRA custodian, that IRA custodian will then wire the funds to this new LLC bank account, which can be opened at any local bank. You and or a third party, i.e. a spouse, would be the managers of the LLC. Once the LLC receives the fund in the local bank account, you'd simply write a check or wire the funds straight to that account to make your real estate investment. It's really that simple. All income and gains, again, will flow back to the IRA LLC tax-free. So this is really the core of the webinar, the next slide, which I want to spend the most time on. And these are helpful tips for buying real estate with a self-directed IRA LLC. And this is important because buying real estate, unlike buying stocks and mutual funds, typically requires a lot more involvement than just telling a broker or going online and selecting what stock you want to buy. You typically involves finding a property, maybe finding a tenant, working with attorneys, title insurance, real estate agent, maybe dealing with improvements. So there's a whole lot of extra types of services that come into play that need to be addressed and looked at in terms of what can be done and not be done in terms of violating potential IRS rules. So the first point, when you buy real estate using your self-directed IRA LLC, you need to make sure that the title of the property is held in the name of the self-directed IRA LLC. So this is very important. I get a lot of these questions. You do not own your property. Okay? The custodian doesn't own the property directly. Who owns the real estate? The IRA LLC owns the real estate. The reason for that is the funds are coming from this IRA LLC. Okay, the owner is the IRA care of the custodian, but the actual owner of the real estate is the LLC. I mean, again, the LLC is respected for corporate purposes. So even though it's treated as a tax nothing for tax purposes, it's still respected for corporate purposes. So the entity is there. The bank account's there. There's a tax ID number. There's an operating agreement. This entity is an existing entity for corporate purposes, meaning when you go ahead and make your purchase, it has to be in the name of the LLC. Okay, so that's an important point because the IRA LLC is the owner. The IRA custodian is just the owner of the LLC. When putting a deposit down, earnest money deposit in the name of the IRA LLC, it's important that only IRA funds will be used. And this is a very, very, very important point. And I always tell clients, potential clients, prospective clients, this is one reason why you want to set up your structure early. You want to give yourself some time. You do not want to put a deposit down using personal funds on a piece of property and then pay for the remaining portion of the property using IRA funds. And we'll get to the reasons why at the prohibited transaction rule discussion, but it's likely a prohibited transaction. You do not want to mix IRA and personal funds. Don't want to commingle them. So if the structure is set up ahead of time and you've then had time to roll your money, your IRA money, into this new LLC account, well, what that means is you can use IRA funds. You want to pay a deposit, simply wire the funds from your IRA LLC account, write a check. Don't have to deal with personal fund issues. And that this is something that comes up a lot, and this is what I always stress, set up your self-directed IRA structure early. In the case of IRA Financial Group, the final fee isn't due until the whole structure is set up anyways. So there's really nothing you're losing. There's no expense you're losing by setting the structure up early. We only get paid once your IRA funds have been moved. But if you set the structure up early, at least you have an LLC name. So why is that important? Well, when you're talking to your real estate agent, you got to have the purchase agreement in the name of the LLC. Remember, the LLC owns the property, or will own the property, not you, not your IRA. So you don't want to put the purchase contract in the name of John Doe if you're going to set up an LLC and call it IRA LLC. The reason is John Doe is not going to own the property. The LLC will. Thus, it's important to set the structure up early, get your LLC set up, if possible, get your LLC account funded, so this way only IRA funds are used. No personal funds should be used. That goes for deposit, that goes for purchase price. Only IRA funds should be used. Okay? And if you need to make the offer, put it in the name of your LLC. If you haven't had a chance to speak to an attorney to set the whole structure up or IRA Financial Group, at least pick an LLC name that you think will be available, your name with the words LLC, something that you have a good idea will be available. So at least the purchase agreement or purchase contract will be at least in the drafted in the right way, so no changes need to be made down the road. If you're going to pay for expenses, improvements, taxes, repairs, rehabilitation, only IRA funds can be used. No personal funds. Can you borrow funds from a third party, i.e. friend, cousin, sibling? Yes. You cannot borrow funds from a disqualified person, lineal descendant, IRA holder, parent, child, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, which we'll get to in a minute, because that would trigger a prohibited transaction. But if you need to fix up the house, if you need to pay taxes, improvements, only IRA funds, no personal funds. And this is extremely important. I always like to think of the IRA as an investment that's held on a separate planet, and your personal funds are held in another planet. And those two planets can't have any interaction with each other. So whatever's involving IRA funds needs to stay using IRA funds. If you need additional funds, again, you can borrow it from a friend, or you can make additional contributions to the custodian, who will then transfer the money tax-free to the IRA LLC. In the case of an IRA for a person under the age of 50, it's a $5,000 contribution, and for someone over the age of 50, it's a $6,000 annual contribution. So if you only need a couple thousand dollars to pay taxes, improvements, you can always just make an additional contribution to the custodian of $5,000, for example. The custodian will then send the money to the IRA LLC, and then you can use that money to make the IRA repairs or improvements. So don't use personal funds, only IRA funds. Again, if financing is needed, and I touched upon this on a previous slide, only non-recourse financing. Do not get a traditional mortgage. Make sure you speak to the banker and confirm that you are not personally guaranteeing this loan. OK? okay? Cannot personally guarantee the loan. That will trigger a prohibited transaction. It only can be a non-recourse loan. And once again, if you are using non-recourse funding, you need to be aware that a tax could be imposed on the non-recourse portion of the income or gains generated by the investment. Once again, I will be having a separate webinar on the use of IRA funds, non-recourse financing, in the next couple months. So that's, again, worthy of its own webinar. There's a lot of information and rules to go over in that regard. All income and gains or losses will flow back to the IRA LLC tax-free. Remember, keep stressing this, but it's very important. The self-directed IRA LLC owns the asset. Thus, when there's income, rental income, or gains on the sale, that goes to the LLC since the LLC owns it. Well, the LLC is a pass-through entity, right? The LLC is not a corporation. It's a pass-through entity, meaning the person or party that is allocated that income for tax purposes is the IRA because the IRA owns the LLC. But we know the IRA doesn't pay tax. It's exempt under Section 408 of the tax code, and the LLC is a pass-through or tax nothing, so it doesn't pay tax. Thus, that income generated by the LLC investment will be flowing back to the IRA tax-free. It's important to work directly with tax professionals in this area. You want to make sure you're speaking to a tax attorney if you can. Again, the nice thing I think about the IRA Financer Group is you're going to work with a tax attorney. Each client of the IRA Financer Group is assigned a tax attorney. We don't assign salespeople, marketing people. This is a structure that is wholly dependent on the IRS tax code and tax court cases. You should, and I think must, work with a tax professional in order to establish your structure. I think doing otherwise is certainly risky. So, as I mentioned previously, what are the limits? What can't you do with a self-directed IRA? And I think some of this will come into play when we're discussing real estate. 4975 and 408 of the tax code really are the core sections that discuss the prohibited transaction rules. I'll start with section 408. 408, under 408M, M as in Michael, discusses certain types of transactions that are deemed prohibited transactions, transactions that you should not and cannot do using IRA funds. Number one, life insurance policies. Really not relevant for real estate, but you can't buy life insurance with your IRA. Collectibles. Collectibles are defined under 408 essentially as antiques, rugs, stamps, baseball cards, diamonds, antique cars. There is a carve-out for certain precious metals, which, again, I'll discuss in another webinar, but gold bullion, silver, palladium, American Eagle coins, all those types of investments are not deemed collectibles, meaning those are investments that you can make. S-corporation stock. Again, S-corporations have very restrictive shareholder requirements, so you're not able to invest in a business that's an S-corporation. Now, the fourth category is really the category that really impacts people when they are making real estate investments using their IRA. And essentially, you cannot engage in any transaction that personally benefits you, because you are a fiduciary, you are a disqualified person. And when I say you, I mean the IRA holder, as well as personally benefit directly or indirectly any disqualified person. A disqualified person is defined under Section 4975 as essentially the IRA holder and any of its lineal descendants. So that means grandparents, parents, children, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, or any entity either of those persons control or own 50% or more of. So you can't engage in any transaction with a grandparent, a parent, a child, a spouse, a daughter-in-law, a son-in-law. The exceptions are brothers and sisters, siblings are okay, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, colleagues. Those are okay. You can engage in transactions with those types of people, just not lineal descendants. And again, it's important to note it says directly and indirectly. So the IRS is basically saying at the end of the day, none of your IRA money should end up benefiting your yourself or any disqualified person. So you can't lend money to a friend and then that friend lends it to your son, because that's indirectly benefiting your son. So what are the IRA prohibited transactions? And that, again, is under 4975. And those rules, which we'll go through now, are the rules that one needs to be very cautious of, especially when making real estate investments, because in the cases of providing services for improvements, repairs, rehabilitation, they could, in most cases, trigger a prohibited transaction. So number one, neither the IRA holder nor any disqualified person may benefit from the IRA directly or indirectly. So that means, under 4975, you cannot buy, sell, or exchange property between a plan and yourself or a disqualified person. So you can't lend money to yourself. You can't lend money to a child, a spouse. Number two, you cannot provide goods or services or facilities to your IRA, or a disqualified person cannot provide goods, services, or facilities to your IRA or IRA asset. So this brings up the probably the most popular question I get is, in the case of real estate, how active can I be? What type of services can or can I not perform? And I'm going to kind of start from the top. As the manager of the LLC, remember, the IRA holder is usually the manager of the LLC. So as the manager of the LLC, under the regulations under 4975-6, it addresses certain types of necessary services that may be provided by an IRA holder. Number one, these services should be provided without compensation. Okay, but these are services that are relevant to maintaining the legality of the LLC, in other words. So accounting functions, filing fee functions, legal functions. You can certainly have and arrange for someone to do that in the case of the LLC. So if there is tax return filings, the LLC is treated as a partnership, for example, you as manager can arrange for those services. Same with legal services. Now, that's at the LLC level. But what about if the LLC buys a piece of property? So again, the LLC buys a property, title of the property is held in the name of the LLC. You're the manager of the LLC. What type of services can you provide to that underlying IRA asset? Well, there's not a lot of guidance from the IRS. The only thing we can go off is really 4975, which says one cannot exchange services or provide services or goods to a IRA asset. And the regulations under 4975-6, which talk about providing some types of necessary services by a IRA fiduciary without compensation. So I always say less is always better. The less you do, the better. That's really the most important point to kind of think about. The less you do, the better. Remember, this is an IRA investment. This is not a personal investment. Okay, so you want to associate this investment with your IRA, not you, and you want to treat this investment as closely as possible to a passive investment, something that you are just directing as the manager of the LLC, but that will be owned by your IRA. So you can certainly pick the property. Okay, as the manager of the LLC, you can determine what property you want to buy. I think in most cases you can determine if you're going to have a tenant, who's going to be the tenant. But anything else, you should really have a management company do. So if there's repairs, rehabilitation, if you want to look for marketing materials, putting the property up for sale, website, you want to have a third party do it. Now, you don't need to hire a formal management company, but the management company should be owned or controlled by someone other than yourself or a disqualified person. So you cannot use your own management company to serve in a management capacity, just like you can't use a management company owned by your son and daughter and pay that management company a fee, or even if you did not provide a fee, you cannot have them or their management company provide services to your IRA. So the less is always better. You want to outsource as much as you can. So to get a third-party manager to manage the property, find the tenant, do the repairs, rehabilitation. If a toilet's broken, you don't want to be fixing it. You don't want to be painting the walls. You want to have a third party do it. Now, I always get this question, well, how will the IRS know if I don't paint, if I painted the wall, or if I mow the lawn, or if I fixed the toilet? The answer is they probably won't know. But the penalties are steep if you violate the prohibited transaction rules. Your entire IRA, not just the asset, the entire IRA will be deemed violated and terminated as of January 1 of that year. In addition, there'll be penalties imposed on that entire IRA amount. So you want to stay away from prohibited transactions. You want to consult with a tax professional, especially when it comes to providing services, what you should do, what you can't do. Less is always better. Okay? If you have any doubt, you should speak to a tax professional. But really, other than picking the property, maybe picking the management company or a tenant, you don't want to be providing any services. So how does it work buying real estate? Again, you want to establish your self-directed IRA LLC as soon as possible. Why? Because the purchase contract needs to be in the name of the LLC. You want to make sure that deposit money, earnest deposit money, is used only IRA money, no personal money. Of course, the purchase price, you want to use only IRA money. If you want to get this structure set up early, there's really no drawback for setting this up early. Again, the fees are only due once everything's been set up. So really no downside to getting set up early. Remember, the LLC is the buyer, not you, not the custodian. So when you title the purchase agreement, it's in the name of the LLC. You're the manager of the LLC. You'll sign the offer to purchase, the purchase contract. You can sign your name. And next to your name, you sign as manager of the LLC or manager. Funds wired to closing, again, are from your IRA LLC. You want to obviously, when it says record this, usually a lot of people ask about bookkeeping, record keeping. The nice thing with a self-directed IRA LLC is that the bank account, the statements, will be a really good source of bookkeeping. Again, money is going to be coming in from the IRA, so that's going to be there. It'll be a deposit. Money going out, checks you're writing, you'll have copies of those checks. The statements will show the money leaving. If you're paying people for services, get invoices. Make sure that it's clear who that money is going to. Again, you're not the one that needs that is able to benefit personally or indirectly or directly. So you want to show, if the IRS ever questions this, that the money is not going to you, not going to a disqualified person. It's going to a third party. So that's why invoices are important. It shows who the person is. Keep copies of the checks. Do you need to hire an accountant? Usually not. I think bank statements, if you want to use QuickBooks or Excel, that suffices. It's really just the bank statements usually will be enough to show money coming out, money going in. If you have a tenant, they're going to pay rent to the name of your IRA LLC. So if you called your IRA LLC, self-directed IRA LLC, that's what the check would be made out to. If it's not made out to you, you don't deposit in your personal account, then transfer it. It's deposit in your IRA LLC bank account. The custodian, again, is just the owner. So let's say that it's IRA Trust Company. The owner would be IRA Trust Company, custodian of the John Doe IRA. They're just the owner. The LLC is the owner of the property. So rents are payable to the IRA LLC. Okay. IRA Financial Group, as we mentioned, were founded by attorneys that work with some of the largest law firms in the country. This is all we do. It's what we specialize in. Tax professionals are always available to answer questions. If you have additional questions, and I don't get to, I'm going to take the next 10 minutes and try to get to questions. There's a lot of questions. Feel free to email me. Again, my name is Adam Bergman. My email is Adam, B as in boy, so A as in apple, D as in David, A as in apple, M as in Mary, B as in boy, Adam B at IRAfinancialgroup.com. You can also email info@IRAfinancialgroup.com. Emails will be answered by a tax professional. You can call us, 800-472-0646. If you have any questions or want to speak to a tax professional. But it's important when buying real estate, remember, less is more. You don't want to do a whole lot. Think of this as an investment, just like stocks. This is a passive investment, not an active business. You want to treat it that way and respect the identity of the IRA. You want to respect the separateness of the IRA compared to your personal funds. Again, the IRA LLC is going to be in a separate bank account. You'd get a separate tax ID number, a separate operating agreement. You don't deposit these funds in a personal account. You don't want to mix personal and IRA funds at any time. These are two separate accounts that need to be respected as such, and it's important from a prohibited transaction standpoint. So I'm going to go through some of these questions now. If I miss some questions, my apologies. I'll try to get through as many as I can. I do want to thank everyone for joining. We had a large group of people. We had hundreds of people last week as well. That's why we offered this webinar again this week. There's a lot of interest. We're going to start doing a whole series every month, one webinar each month, maybe more. If people have ideas for topics, email us, info@IRAfinancialgroup. But there certainly will be one coming along on non-recourse financing, and as well as another on solo 401k plans. First question is about providing services. What services can be provided when it comes to real estate? I'm going to focus on this, but really less is more. I have a question. Can I paint the exterior of the home? Well, again, no. You don't want to be providing services. You want to outsource that. You don't want to be doing anything active in that sense. It's worth outsourcing. You don't want to get involved. Please discuss who is excluded from use of or rental of real estate, BOPM IRA LLC. Great question. Again, the disqualified person rules are very important. What those rules are there for is to basically say that, hey, we don't want your IRA to personally benefit any disqualified person, directly or indirectly. And it's important to understand what's the reason for these rules. Why does the IRS care to protect them so much? And it really centers around the fact that the IRS cares very much about their distribution rules. Again, they let you get this money, this IRA money, into the account in most cases and gave you a tax deduction. So the money went in a tax-deductible manner, meaning the IRS is saying, okay, I'm going to let you put this money in, but we're going to wait probably 40, 30, 20 years until we start getting taxed on it. But we want to make sure we're going to eventually get that money. So their idea is that if you're going to start letting your son live in your apartment or start lending money to your child, your spouse, that's almost like you just benefited from it. That's almost like you just took that money out and never paid tax on it because you just gave it to your son or gave it to yourself. So the IRS needs to protect those rules because they need to make sure and ensure that they're going to get some of that taxable income at some point. So when it comes to rental properties or rental, you do not want to rent it to a disqualified person. Do not want to rent it to yourself personally and any of your lineal descendants, so grandparents, parents, children, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, or any entity owned by such persons. Okay, so the IRS isn't confused or they're not fooled if you set up an LLC and you own it or your spouse owns it. The IRS is going to look through that. Okay, again, any entity owned more than 50% by a disqualified person is treated as disqualified. I take that a step further. There's actually tax court cases, Rollins v. Commissioner, for example, where this gentleman, Mr. Rollins, is an accountant, and he owned a number of companies. In one case, he owned as little as 8%, and his 401k, in this case, lent money to that company, and the IRS treated that as a prohibited transaction. They claimed that Mr. Rollins could not prove that that money didn't personally benefit him. So even though he owned way under 50%, the fact that he couldn't show that that money didn't benefit him, which it likely did indirectly, was treated as a prohibited transaction. The slides will be available on our website, same with a taping of this conversation. So you can always, if your friends have missed this conversation or want a copy of the slideshow, you can certainly pick that up probably in the next few days off our website. We'll be on the webinar page, and you'll be able to download a copy of the PowerPoint. Someone asked if you evict a if you need to evict a tenant from a property owned by the IRA LLC, can you represent the owner in court? Well, if your IRA LLC is lending someone has a tenant and that tenant needs to be evicted, you should probably have a third party represent the LLC in that procedure. Again, the less is always better. You don't want to be providing active services. So I would suggest in that case to have a third party represent the LLC against that tenant. I have another question about beneficiaries. Can you designate a beneficiary of your self-directed IRA? The answer is yes. As part of the custodian document process, when you set up your self-directed IRA, you can designate a beneficiary, a spouse, child, friend, who will benefit from the IRA LLC and the assets of your IRA. I have another question, who can appoint as manager of the LLC? Well, you can appoint anyone as manager of the LLC. It can even be yourself. As we know from the Swanson v. Commissioner case, which is really the paramount case when it comes to self-directed IRA investments, in that case, Mr. Swanson, whose IRA invested 100% in a newly formed special purpose entity, he was the shareholder or president of that entity, and the IRS ruled that that was not a prohibited transaction. So you can serve as your own manager. A lot of clients like to have a secondary manager, so God forbid in the case of their death, the LLC is still able to operate because there's a secondary manager. The next question revolves about non-recourse financing. Is there any tax form that needs to be filed? And again, I'll be going through the non-recourse financing rules in another webinar, but yes, typically a Form 990-T, as in Tom, needs to be filed with the IRS each year to identify the amount of non-recourse financing. Also, a tax will be due on the non-recourse financing portion. The next question revolves around the idea of a Roth IRA owning an LLC. Can a person move into the property tax-free? How does that work? Well, essentially, because it's a Roth IRA has special distribution rules. Because you pay tax on that money going in, the IRS says, okay, you pay tax going in, so now we're going to let that money grow tax-free. The way that works is as long as you're over the age of 59 and a half and the Roth IRA has been open at least 5 years, you can take a qualified distribution, because that distribution would be tax-free. Meaning if you needed $1,000 to live off, you could pull it out tax-free. Once you've reached 59 and a half and the Roth IRA has been open at least 5 years, that also means that if you wanted to move into the house that your Roth IRA owns, you can do that tax-free. It would be treated as a distribution, but again, it's a Roth IRA, so you don't need to pay tax on it. And I got another question that I'm just going to address now because it deals with the same issue, but on a pre-tax IRA. And in that case, you can also move into the property tax-free. You can also move into the property. However, if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you're going to pay a 10% penalty and ordinary income tax on the value of the property at that time. Not what you paid for it, but on the value at the time of the distribution, which could be more or less. If you're over the age of 59 and a half, you could move into that property again, but you're going to pay tax, not penalty, but tax on the amount of the fair market value of the property. Next question I got revolves around the issue of the self-directed IRA bank account. Could it be open at any local bank? Yes. The self-directed IRA LLC bank account could be opened at any local bank, Chase, Wells Fargo, whatever it is. You do not want to open an IRA account. You want to open an LLC checking account. Okay, so that means, again, your LLC is going to be making the investment, not your IRA. So you don't want to set up another IRA at the bank. You already have one. You just want to open an LLC account in the name of your LLC. Next question revolves around acquiring the tax ID number. Is that something IRA Financial Group does? And that's yes. We'll do all the legal drafting, the operating agreement, tax identification number. We'll acquire the articles for the special purpose LLC, and we'll also help you transfer your funds tax-free to the new LLC. Next question I have here is in terms of, again, providing services, payments, taxes for the IRA LLC. So if you owe real estate taxes on the IRA LLC, again, you got to use IRA funds to pay that. Can't pay it with personal funds. You'll write a check from your IRA LLC account. If you're short some money, you can make contributions up to $5,000 a year. If you're under 50, $6,000. If you're over 50, again, then I also want to address this next question. It talks about where those contributions made to the LLC or the custodian. And in that case, the contributions are always made to the custodian. Again, this is a good question. If you need to make additional contributions to your IRA LLC, you'll make them directly to the custodian. The custodian will then transfer them to the LLC. Same thing with distributions. I have a question here. How do you take distributions from your IRA? Well, if it's in-kind, there's a process that needs to be followed. In-kind meaning you want to live in the property or take the asset. You'll need to fill out a distribution request and change the titling of the property to your name. In the case of cash, it's pretty simple. You'll fill out a distribution request form. You'll write a check back to the custodian in the amount of the distribution you want to take, and then that custodian will just write you a check for that distribution. There's a whole lot of questions here. I'm going to try to get to maybe one more because we've gone over a little bit. Let me just pick one that's somewhat relevant. I think the last question we'll deal with is on the area of tax deferral. Someone's asking here, again, the advantages of using the IRA to buy real estate in a tax-deferred manner, with the question about losses. Again, as a tax lawyer, my opinion is that you'd rather not pay taxes than take deductions. Sure, if you own this property personally, you can take depreciation deductions. There may be expenses. There may be some losses that you can even use to offset against other income. Note, there are some passive activity loss rules that may limit the amount of losses that you can use on a passive investment to offset your ordinary income, your salary, but it's possible. Again, I'd much rather use a tax-free vehicle to buy property. Again, all the income you generate is going to be deferred until you have to pay tax. That could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, even 30 years. So all that is going back into your IRA. You're hopefully then reinvesting into other assets and making additional money. So again, I believe, I'm a strong believer of deferring tax as long as you can. And that's really, I think, one of the strong advantages of using IRA funds to buy real estate is you have the beauty of tax deferral. You also, in the case of a Roth IRA, have the attractive investment option and tax options of tax-free investing, never having to pay tax on any of that income. And that's obviously such a very, very, very nice thing. I have the last question, which I'm not really going to address, is Roth conversions. Are they good or bad? There's no right answer. It's really, and there's going to be a slideshow webinar about that. Should you do a Roth conversion? It really depends on your age. Can you pay the tax? And really, your appetite for risk. Because when you pay tax up front, what you've done now is you're saying, I believe I'm going to make a good return because I've just paid the tax up front on the fair market value of the IRA. And going forward, I believe I'm going to have strong returns, which I'll be able to then take tax-free. I always tell people this, you got to think worst-case scenario. You know, as a lawyer, we're always trained to advise our clients about worst-case scenarios. You always want to think about the Enron investor. If someone did a Roth conversion prior to Enron debacle or the collapse, they just would have paid tax on the fair market value of Enron stock and now maybe probably left with nothing. So they just pay tax on something that's worth nothing. So, again, that's worst-case scenario, but it's something to keep in mind. Again, I just want to end with thanking everyone for joining this webinar. Really appreciate the time. I know it's the holiday season. I hope people found this helpful. If people have any additional questions, suggestions for topics for webinars, additional webinars, feel free to email info@iraFinancialGroup.com. Again, my name is Adam Bergman. I'm a tax attorney with the IRA Financial Group. My email is Adam, B as in boy, A-D-A-M, B as in boy, at IRAFinancialGroup.com. That's Adam B at IRAFinancialGroup.com. You can always call 800-472-0646. My extension is 12. So if you need to get me, you can try me by email or just dial 800-472-0646, extension 12. I'll do my best to get back to everyone within 24 hours. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday and have a great evening. Thank you.